From ABC News, I'm Bob Walker, and this is World News This Morning for Saturday, May 8, 1982. Good morning. All's quiet in the South Atlantic. The lull in the war over the Falkland Islands continues as both Britain and Argentina appear to be waiting and hoping that the United Nations can come up with a solution to the crisis. Secretary General Javier de Cuellar will be having consultations with both sides again today. We have reports this morning from both Argentina and Britain. First, here's Jeff Sprung in Buenos Aires.
The Argentine capital is quiet this Saturday morning. Newspapers here report on yesterday's decision by Britain to extend the blockade, the so-called exclusion zone, to within 12 miles of the Argentine mainland. Since that announcement, official reaction here has come from two government ministers. Amadeo Frugoli, the defense minister, told reporters here last night the widened blockade simply will not work. Earlier Friday, Economics Minister Roberto Alemán told ABC's Irv Chapman that the widening of the blockade would bring Britain's ships closer to land-based Argentine Air Force planes. There is no word at all this morning from the battle zone itself. Jeff Sprung, ABC News, Buenos Aires.
This is John Donovan in London. News from the South Atlantic still reaches us here only through the fine filter of the British Defense Ministry, where today it was reported that during the last 24 hours there have been no operational contacts, a phrase presumably meant to describe combat. Beyond that, the ministry issued a Falklands weather report, fog and heavy cloud, and provided a sketchy account of activities at the mid-Atlantic staging point of Ascension Island, a busy place, it was said, with more than 1,000 men on shore. During this lull in military news here, and especially bad news, it appears that Britain's confidence is beginning to return. Newspapers this morning are again using tough-worded headlines as though this country is getting its second wind. John Donovan, ABC News, London.
I'll have more after this.
I am a smoker. I started smoking after my first son was born.
Sulamar, Antioch, Illinois.
And I thought, wow, my teeth are really getting yellow.
She used Topol Smoker's tooth polish with fluoride.
My teeth started getting whiter, and it gave like a shine to them that they hadn't had in a long time. I was very happy with it, and now I smile again all the time.
Topol Smoker's tooth polish with three ingredients to clean and polish helps remove ugly tobacco stains. Topol, tested and proven gentle for everyday use. Use only as directed.
Oh, boy.
Now, what's the matter, dear?
Well, I finished painting the steps, but they finished me. Got a nagging backache.
Oh, I knew we should have hired someone to do it. You always overexert yourself.
So now you're going to nag me.
No, I'm going to get you some Doane's pills.
Good advice. For temporary relief, get Doane's pills and get the better of a backache due to simple overexertion, stress, or strain. Doane's pills. Use only as directed.
Well, you're sure walking like your back feels better tonight, John.
No question about it. Thanks to Doane's pills.
Los Angeles police say they have busted the biggest child pornography ring in the country. Police arrested 43-year-old Kathy Wilson, who reportedly made $500,000 a year in child pornography and drove a Rolls Royce while collecting welfare payments. In the words of L.A. Police Chief Daryl Gates, the good news is that we have erased the worst of this terrible blight on the children in the country. The bad news is that she has been released on $5,000 bail, despite her record. The trial of John Hinckley, accused of trying to assassinate President Reagan some 13 months ago, has recessed for the weekend. Carl Rochelle has his status report from Washington.
At the end of the second week of the Hinckley trial, the defense is just getting its case underway. John Hinckley's mother has completed her testimony, and three doctors have told what they know about Hinckley's claims of physical and mental problems. But on Monday, when the trial resumes, we will hear from Dr. John Hopper, the psychiatrist who, according to Mrs. Hinckley, told them not to put John in a hospital or institution, and formulated with them a plan for John to get a job, support himself, and to leave home and make it on his own. Carl Rochelle, ABC News, Washington.
The war between Iran and Iraq is said to have sharply escalated. Iraq says it sent waves of helicopters in support of its ground forces and reported wiping out large numbers of Iranian troops. The fighting taking place in Iran's southwestern province of Khuzestan. The combat zone is about 70 miles due north of the top of the Persian Gulf. Iran produces much of its oil in that Khuzestan province. This is ABC News.
Hello?
Hi, we're newlyweds and we'd like to buy a home, but my wife... she says it's a buyer's market, Sugar Plum. And there's a big selection, dearest, and prices are lower than we thought. What about mortgage interest rates? Rates can be lower when the seller helps, honey.
Now's a great time to buy a home. Call a Realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Come on, we're going to see that Realtor. Okay, dear?
This is World News This Morning. Weather forecasters are calling for a few scattered showers and thunderstorms in the eastern New England states, south into New York, and further south of the Carolinas today. Sunny skies in the lower and mid-Mississippi valleys. Vice President George Bush is continuing his talks with top Chinese officials. We got the latest from Jim Lurie in Peking.
Vice President Bush went into a second day of serious talks on the major differences which have seen Chinese-American relations cool in the past 2 years. Bush spent about 3 hours, including lunch, with the powerful Vice Chairman Deng Xiaoping. Deng told Bush at the start of the session that he hoped that the visit would serve to disperse what he called the shadows and dark clouds overhanging our relations. The unresolved issue at hand is that of future American arms sales to Taiwan, an act China vigorously opposes. The Bush visit is largely a goodwill mission, and Bush brings no concrete plan for solving the impasse on the Taiwan question. Jim Lurie, ABC News in Peking.
Due for release next month, a report by a special mission of the International Labor Organization that deals with working conditions in Israeli-occupied Arab territory. ABC's Lisa Rowland in Geneva tells us what that report will say.
The mission is critical of the way Israel handles working conditions in the Arab-occupied territories. The mission says most of the Arab population works for the benefit of Israel's economy and interests. Arab workers do jobs Israelis don't want. Child labor was supposed to have been phased out, but the mission reports young Arab children continue to work on Israeli farms and factories. Job training for Arabs is kept at a low level. Lisa Rowland, ABC News, Geneva.
Compasses always point to the magnetic north, right? Wrong. Not all compasses. Robin Wright in Beirut tells us there's a new compass out that always points to Mecca.
It may be true that there's a gadget on the market for every need. The latest item in the Middle East is a Muslim compass designed for Islamic travelers. Just set the dial and it'll tell you the direction of Mecca, the holy city in Saudi Arabia where Muslims face 5 times a day in prayer. Produced by Swedish and Swiss firms, the compass is set for 118 countries on 5 continents. The compass now sells for about $6, but the Swiss company is planning to offer a more specialized and expensive version for wealthy Arabs, a compass attached to a prayer rug. Robin Wright, ABC News, Beirut.
Officials attending a congressional subcommittee hearing in Norman, Oklahoma, say that high school science and math requirements are much lower in the U.S. than other countries, and that that has led to a shortage of engineers and teachers. Democratic Congressman David McCurdy of Oklahoma says at one time the U.S. had the toughest educational requirements in the entire world. But no more, says McCurdy, who claims the U.S. is now far behind West Germany, the Soviet Union, and Japan in math and science educational requirements and achievements at the high school level. McCurdy says only 1 of 3 high schools across the country require more than 1 year of math and science. 7 high school districts require no math at all. By contrast, he says, high schools in Russia require 5 years of both physics and biology, 4 years of chemistry, 2 of calculus. For all of you airline passengers who have complained about airline food in the past, a new study has come up with what you had probably been assuming all along. Airlines don't spend very much money on their food. Stephen Ogg reports from Washington.
Aviation Daily, an airline industry trade publication, has tallied up the figures and finds the average major airline spent $3.96 per passenger on food last year. The costs varied widely from airline to airline, though. Pan American, for example, which flies a lot of long overseas flights, spent an average of $5.84 a passenger, while U.S. Air, which flies mostly short hops in the East and Midwest, spent only $1.53. As a U.S. Air spokesman put it, there's not much time for any meal, no less a big one, on a 50-minute flight. Stephen Ogg, ABC News, Washington.
And that's World News This Morning. For the ABC Information Network, I'm Bob Walker.